Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in, I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, have you brought some news for us today?
No.
No?
No, I don't have any news. Everyone does news. I mean, there's the Buffalo thing, which, yeah, we should talk about it later, but we always do the news. Lots of people do the news. Who cares what
you brought us anything interesting today?
Yeah, I got some questions for you.
For me, personally?
I feel like we should hash this out. Yeah, for you.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, number one.
Uh-huh.
Thinking about Eldritch Abominations.
Wait, what?
A lot of them are Eldritch Abominations.
Okay.
Your Cthulhu, your Yogg-Sothoth.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like fish or squid or whatever, because Lovecraft was terrified of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You're imagining an Eldritch Abomination from scratch. What's it like?
Oh, yeah. So that's one thing that I really love about Lovecraft is like, even his descriptions, you know, people kind of filled in a lot of the blanks, because a lot of it was like, looking at it will make you go bad. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of bat wings, there's a lot of tentacles, and there's a lot of critters that look like flowers. If I were to look at something and think that's the most horrific Eldritch Abomination that would, like, potentially make me go mad.
Right. Yeah. But also,
do you
just
have
like
an answer for this?
No, not necessarily. Okay. But just like, if you were kind of approaching, you know, I wanna create a monster here that's so scary that like how would you approach it?
Well, it's hard for me not to make movie references.
You should. This is why I'm bringing this to you.
You know, in one of a more recent movie that I don't know if anybody's seen other than me is Attack the Block. Have you ever seen a movie called Attack the Block?
I've never even heard of it.
Okay, it's a British movie from before the new Star Wars movies, because the guy who plays Finn in the new Star Wars movie was in it. And it was about a bunch of poor kids in London, and they just happen to stumble upon an alien invasion before anybody else does. And what these aliens are is it's like a furry bear, like a big sort of matted furry bear with glowing blue teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about them is they're so dark that they absorb all light. So when you look at them, you see nothing but blackness and blue teeth.
Oh, that's
cool. So it can be like daylight out, or it can be totally nighttime out, and all you're seeing is basically like, what's it called? Like carbon black or whatever, that the totally absorbing.
Yeah, like Vanta Black. Vanta Black.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And I thought that was like a truly terrifying, awesome idea for a terrifying creature. And that would scare the bejesus out of me. I would say, yeah, I always thought that it was a little rude to prey on the tentacles and bat wings of the world.
Yeah.
Bats are super cute.
I love squid. Yeah.
Octopuses are super smart. And cuttlefish, mm-hmm. they're all smart. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Really, I mean, if it was going to look like anything, it'd look like a, I don't know, a 6'5", fourth decade in prison inmate that thought I looked good. I don't know. Yeah, it'd probably be something like that. And I don't mean the stereotypical joke of that, but it would probably be something like the end of Ghostbusters, where you sort of like choose your own thing and like thought of the Marshmallow Man. You know, it'd probably be like choose your own thing, and then somehow they take the thing that you love and make it.
Well, you know what that is.
Phantoms.
That's Pennywise. Fans.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, because Pennywise takes...
It's totally ripped that off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it takes its form of whatever you're afraid of.
Yeah.
So.
And I always thought that was super cool, because that really is kind of his take on the Eldritch God. It is.
Like, Pennywise is definitely, like, we find out later it arrived on a meteor and, you know, has just been living under this modern... what is now Derry. But
right.
has been there for like a million years, and that it is basically just this huge, weird organism.
Isn't it energy? though it's not, it doesn't actually have a physical.
It sort of does. It's kind of like a gigantic spider, but like at one point it opens its mouth and there's just like these lights floating around, and that's what the kids and then later the adults call them, the dead lights.
Right. See, that's the part.
And that's sort of like its true form.
I felt like the dead lights was the true form, and that the spider, when they were opening up, they were like pulling away the illusion, and that was it. It was just kind of.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. But yeah. Also, like, the spider laid eggs, so it was real in some sense. But it was true. Like...
It was real where it counted.
God. Okay, let me move on.
No, I want to know what your Eldritch... What was the last thing you saw that truly terrified you, like movie-wise? You know, I don't mean like truly terrified you like you pissed yourself or something. I mean terrified you like you're all, I get it, that's terrifying.
You know, that's tough, is like, I'm having trouble thinking of something that terrified me, but something that definitely, I was watching a movie called Raw, which is basically this French movie about a woman who goes, like, and becomes a veterinary student. But unbeknownst to her, her family has, like, this genetic predisposition to, like, cannibalism, basically.
Right, yeah. I haven't watched it, but I saw that.
Yeah, so, like, she's been a vegetarian all her life, but then in this hazing ritual, they make her eat meat. And then, like, she starts... craving human flesh, basically. And so there's this one scene where her sister, it's this whole thing, suffice to say, she accidentally cuts her finger off in accident, and like her sister passes out and she calls 911 and she has the finger and then she eats it because she can't help herself. That scene freaked me right out. Like, okay. I had to pause the movie, I felt faint, I, like, struggled into the other room and made myself some food so that I wouldn't just, like, pass out, because I was so creeped out by it.
Right. Now, I haven't seen this movie, but I'm going to use a term here that maybe the movie doesn't fall under. And it's a genre of horror movie that doesn't really freak me out, but it freaks a lot of people out, and that's body horror.
Yes.
Is body horror, like... Because when I think of, like, terrifying, I don't necessarily think it from coming within me or from coming like that or putting myself in the situation. I always think of myself as the sexy co-ed that's, like, trying to get away. But, like, you're the cockroach in Franz Kafka.
I'm freaked out by – so I guess if I was imagining an Eldritch horror, it would be, like – something that grows on you or a version of you that you encounter that is like you but wrong kind of thing. So I think my take on horror is just more self-centered than yours, maybe.
Well, but no, like I think said, a lot of people
think that way. Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. You know, I mean, nothing wrong with being self-centered as long as you know you're, but have you ever seen or read The Dark Half?
No, I haven't.
That's the one you want then. That's Stephen King, The Dark Half. Not even going to tell you anything about it. Watch it. It's 30 years old. There's no way you can't find it, you know. But you'll like it.
No, yeah.
Timothy Hutt. Not so bad. Timothy Hutt.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right. Got another question. You're James Bond, though. Put yourself in that mindset.
No problem.
You have, let's say, $1 billion and a small army of henchmen.
Okay.
You want to rob the Louvre. Uh-huh. How do you do it?
With $1 billion and a small army of henchmen. Did Andrea put this you up to this? Or
no, I just I wanted to do something wild. Because you know what? The news gets depressing sometimes.
It does.
We've got a shooting in the news, and I'm like, everyone's been talking about the shooting. I've got stuff to say about it, but like...
Yeah, what can we say
about robbing the Louvre
for, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, SNL this weekend had a funny thing where they had their cold opener, and it was like a news thing, and they're just all, with the war in the Ukraine, and so-and-so, and the pandemic back on the rise, we now cut to our opening story, which is Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah. Which I also don't care about that. So, and, right. You know, I try to look for news stories. This is a bit of a tangent. I try to look for news stories that are like UFO sighting, that are like Bigfoot sighting, that are just weird stuff that brings some mystery into our lives. Trouble with that is... It doesn't happen that
mainstream. Often. Yeah, and it's all gone mainstream. I mean, it's in the news right now, currently, as we're talking right now. Aren't they talking in the Senate about UFOs?
That's true. But I mean, like, specific incidents.
Yeah.
Like, you can always find stuff like that, but, like, if you try and find it on a weekly basis, you're going to get a lot of stuff that's just like, okay, you know, you can
right.
think of
not,
five
not credible.
Prosaic explanations off the top of your head. Like, you got to – this is something that only happens – I feel like every couple of months you get a good one kind of thing. So,
okay.
So I'm trying to bring the weirdness. That's
obviously the best solution to this is to rob the Louvre. So,
yes, of course.
You know, half of me would want to be all smart about it, and the other half of me would want to use a speedboat. So,
aren't those the two halves that are always in conflict?
Yeah.
Ego and id, man.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea is just to take something from the Louvre, not to empty it out.
I was kind of thinking to empty it out, because I gave you $1 billion and a small army.
$1 billion to empty out the Louvre. Yeah. Okay. I would...
Like, you don't have to take everything, but you got to take
all
the
stuff. And I have no ethics, right? I have
no
ethics.
No, you have, you're not. You're a Bond villain. So.
Okay.
You're madly in love with James Bond. That's what you are. So if they send a secret agent to stop you, then you're kind of screwed because you can't kill him because you're secretly in love with him. That's the one limitation. But other than that.
Okay. Well, then I would, and I'm surprised somebody hasn't taken advantage of it right now, or maybe they have and we always catch them. I would create some sort of, chemical or terrorist threat to clear the area. It'd be a lot like Die Hard 3. You see Die Hard 3?
I haven't. No, I've seen the first two, I guess. So I stopped before 3.
Right, right.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I've seen them all. There's something about my being a cisgendered male from Gen X that grew up in the 90s, there's something about a crappy action film that just, like, is very nostalgic for me. You know, I've even seen, like, tons of, like, who's the guy who's the big Russia dude now? But he's
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Artist. No.
Oh, no.
Seagal. Steven Seagal. Even seen a fair amount of Steven Seagal movies. So.
Ooh, really scraping the ball.
Times were different then, Kara. You know, a lot of people don't understand, but you know, if you're going to cancel everybody who's seen a Steven Seagal movie, get ready to cancel everybody in my graduating class.
You know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm surprised people haven't taken advantage of these situations. I feel bad saying some of it out loud because I'm scared somebody will take the idea, but like
we are a show about the radical weirdness. We are the cutting edge of conspiracies. If anyone can say it out loud, who if not us?
Well, the entire West Coast is a tinderbox.
Yeah, true.
I'm sure there's a lot of France that is too. I would light that sucker on fire.
Mm.
How's that? You know, because I'm always amazed, like every summer, that some crazy, either local or foreign terrorist doesn't just get 12 of their buddies, spread themselves across the West Coast, and light 12 fires.
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of like the Clover Fire in Reading, which was a while ago now. That was probably like 10 years ago, was arson, I believe. It was someone intentionally fire starting. So yeah. I think that kind of does happen on a small scale, but why doesn't, you know, Al-Qaeda come here and just, like, grab matches and gasoline? I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, they could take over three planes with a box cutter, but they can't rent a car. You know, it's like...
Yeah, like...
I probably shouldn't come down on them for their lack of capability.
That's the real problem with Al-Qaeda, I think. The lack of, like, work ethic and ingenuity.
Yeah. Can you imagine what they get done with more pizza parties?
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. I mean, with a billion, you could probably also hijack a Jewish space laser if they're out there. You know, seeing right. We're talking about the weird team.
That is a super interesting answer, though. My one problem with it, though, is, like, France is in, like, the Louvre is in the middle of Paris. So, like, it's not like there's, you know, it's not like it catches the way, like, Reading does.
Fire was just sort of expanding on my deal. We just deal with so many natural disasters and man-made right. disasters that for $1 billion, I could create a disaster that took mm-hmm. every single person of that city that way.
Right.
And I think that's how I would rob the Louvre.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a pretty good plan. That's honestly, I did think about this one a little bit, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking just put my small army of people in uniforms, make sure they all have, like, reasonable looking credentials, and say, guys, there's, you know, been a nerve gas release in the Louvre. We have to clear the area immediately, and, you know, just have people in hazmat suits taking out boxes all day, and then. You know, the boxes are full of all the art.
Yeah, totally. Another way, even if you don't want to, you know, tell people they're all going to die to get them out of the area is, right. How about this? I take $1 million each, and I give it to the guys, and I say, in a couple of hours here, I want you to break in the Louvre and rob it. And they say, well, what about all the people? They'll be busy. At which point, I hire a guy to put me up in a plane at the other side of the city where I dump $1 billion onto the populace.
You know what?
That way I'm the hero. I get everything in the Louvre. Sure, right. Maybe some people were trampled, but, I mean, they did go out there. I mean, you know, when you go after the money, you got to know you might get trampled.
That's very much, you know, the Joker, Batman, 1989 kind of thinking. And I approve of it. This is the kind of thinking that America needs.
I'm a good guy at heart.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Last one I got. And then we can do some actual news.
Okay.
You're the president of the United States.
Okay.
So that's what you are. Congratulations. Now, while the Yucca Mountain people...
the best president there's ever been?
No.
Okay, no, go ahead.
You're fair to Midland. The Yucca Mountain people are excavating new places to store nuclear waste underground, like they do. They find a crashed flying saucer. It's to be about 10,000 years old, and no one is inside of it. The press will get wind of the story in, like, a day. What do you do with the saucer?
Okay, so there's two angles you can take this from. And one is, I'm that guy who's going to answer, like, well, if I was the president, I would just tell everybody. We'd all get on and we'd build, like, a carnival around the outside and we'd be selling popcorn. People would get to walk through. But if I was, like, the actual president and I'm trying to keep people from finding out, what is my motivation here?
You are Chauncey Haworth as president.
Oh, okay.
Let's say that, like, You They're right
gonna
now
find out black. In 24 hours or not. So I can't ask you, are the aliens a threat? Because we're not going to be able to assess that in 24 hours.
Right. Yeah, you only have a day to, like, decide, basically, whether you're going to keep it secret or not.
I would mobilize the military and encircle the area and tell the populace that it was there, because it's obviously going to come out in 24 hours. And then anybody who crosses the line is going to get shot, because it might kill everybody on the planet because of some weird, stupid virus that's in the damn thing.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Have you seen this article? Insurance companies are fleeing California.
More politics and regulations driving up the cost of insurance for all of us.
Isn't it always? Wait, don't we get to pick the insurance commissioner?
Yes. I was just reading about Vincent Eugene Allen. He's a doctor and a businessman. He's spending his own money running for insurance commissioner.
His own money, not Sacramento's?
His own money. Dr. Allen and his wife, Connie U. Allen, own 7 successful urgent care clinics in Los Angeles. He's an insurance expert.
What does he have to say?
He says we need to take political science out of the office of the insurance commissioner. Take a look at this website, electdrallen2022.com. Vincent Eugene Allen is proposing an independent statewide audit of insurance rates. That's a real policy proposal.
I'm marking my ballot for Vincent Eugene Allen for insurance commissioner and turning it in early. Don't forget to get yours in before June 7th.
Paid for by Dr. Allen for Insurance Commissioner 2022.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey kids, we're working here. Give us a call and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't
forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
I've seen the Andromeda Strain. You know what can happen? I saw that movie one time in the 70s, late 60s. I don't know.
But, wait, they made a movie? I only read the book.
Of the Andromeda Strain? Yes, it's very slow, and it came out like in the same era as 2001 A Space Odyssey, and if you know anything about movies that came out in two, you know, it was like...
Right, they were trying to be 2001, but you were not 2001.
Right, yeah. So, like, the whole first half of the movie is, like, them going through the decontamination process.
To be fair, that's, like...
realistic.
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean the book is kind of like that, too. But.
Oh, well, yeah, I never read it, but I really enjoyed it. But, again, it's like what we were talking about before. It's slow, and you got to be in the mood for it, but it's good.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, that's just my off-of-the-top-of-my-head answer, and I know that's this is one of the areas where I consider myself to be a very progressive person, but I'm kind of conservative when it comes to the military because their job is to do that, and I expect them to do that. I mean, if there is a crashed alien ship and everybody's going to find out in 24 hours and we don't know if it could hurt people, I expect the government to encircle that place and basically let people know, do not try to sneak in here. We're not trying to keep secrets from you. We're trying to save everybody on the planet.
So and you would tell people about the saucer, but you would, you know, absolutely cut off access to it.
Yeah, but I'd also be honest about the information that was coming out. I think that the world is becoming less and less, for lack of a better word, I'm going to use intelligent. I don't think humans are necessarily becoming less intelligent, but our motivations for intelligence are just gone, and people, I think a world change like that, let's say we discovered an alien ship, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we told the world today, it would be very difficult and there would be a lot of bad things that happen. I think if we waited 50 years, humanity is not getting better in this regard. I don't see a 50-year path to enlightenment for us.
Yeah.
So if there is an opportunity for enlightenment, I would rip that Band-Aid off immediately. Basically, look, you know, something bigger than you that matters. Yay, we're all friends, hold hands, kumbaya, whatever, you know. It's a new enemy, it's a new friend, it's a whatever. Anything that would get people to...
kind of on the same page.
Stop arguing about, well, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp or or what's going on in Doctor Strange and or thinking that they're trying to, what's that thing in the news? It's probably coming up in the news. I'll talk to you about it later, but the whole like replacing the lights, you know.
The great replacement.
Yeah, is that coming up?
Well, I was going to talk about Buffalo, so.
You're going to talk about what? A little bit.
About the Buffalo shooting. So, yeah, I mean, it'll come up in the context of that, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think the world needs to have new vitality put into it. And
so you would actually kind of be like, oh, thank God, a flying saucer.
Yeah, frankly, I think at this point, Joe Biden would, too.
Well, yeah, you know what? Like, I think here's the way that he can still do well in the midterms.
Right, yeah. Oh, my God, a flying saucer. Run that way.
The good thing about that is you don't even need a flying saucer. You just have the military encircle some mountain.
Right.
You kind of do need one, though, because, like, they would leak super fast if there was just no flying saucer.
The
government leaks, like, thing leaks a lot.
I do have this political question to ask.
Yeah.
Why does it flip-flop back and forth so much? So I tend to vote liberal.
Right.
But, I mean, I would vote for somebody else if it weren't so weird. But, you know, I don't like what Biden is doing necessarily. I don't think he's, like, out there kicking butt. I think he sucks. And you give me a better candidate, and I'm going to vote for him. But the world seems to talk like, oh, Biden's so bad that everybody's just going to vote for Republicans now. I'm just like, that's a big jump, you know, to go from,
I totally believe in what these people say to, like, oh man, my paycheck's not doing so hot. I'm going to vote for everything these people say. That seems like a huge swing.
No, that's not how it works. It's
okay.
It is a little bit like there are swing voters. There are such a thing as swing voters who essentially don't have any political ideology and just kind of
vote on,
bounce around, just kind of like,
or vote on single subjects. Like I only vote on the economy, which would make me go back and
forth. I mean, yeah, like single issue abortion voters though are not swing voters. But like, yeah, single issue sort of like, is my paycheck doing well voters will pretty much, they are kind of swing voters, but basically it's about the swing voters. And it's also about, in probably equal proximity, it's about just complacency. So one party gets their guy in and they stop paying attention. So
the issue is
that in as big numbers, like if everyone voted every election, then it would only be the swing voters, but like that isn't what happens. So it's just there's huge swings in participation between both parties each time. So like the reason the president's party always gets creamed in the first midterms that he has is because a bunch of Democrats are just not, who did vote for Biden in 2020 because they hated Trump, are just probably not going to vote in the midterms.
Right.
They are like, by our guys in, we, you know, things are fine now. Like, you know, maybe there's some issues, but we're basically content. And so, like, maybe it's not such a big deal to get out. You also have to remember that voting is kind of tricky in some parts of the country. Like, yeah. if you're an urban, like, working class person who has to work on Tuesdays in, like, urban Georgia and like Atlanta or something, you know, it's pretty hard to get any kind of dispensation to vote early. And if you work on that day, then you got to go after work is over, but before the polls close, and you only got a couple hours there. And maybe maybe they close down all but one polling station in Atlanta, which is the kind of thing that the Republicans in Georgia poll all the time, you know, not just single them out, but like they're the ruling party in Georgia, so they can kind of do shenanigans like that. So, you know, Atlanta's a big place. Maybe now you've got to stand and wait for 5 hours to vote, and you've already worked a full day of work. So, like, when you imagine it from that perspective, like, it's weird for us here on the West Coast where voting is extremely easy. But when you look at it from this perspective, like, complacency is, yeah, a big factor in explaining why people don't vote, because voting is such a huge pain in a lot of the, like, the urban South.
Yeah, my whole state is mail-in and has
exactly
been.
Yeah, no, like, Washington, Oregon, California, there is no voter suppression in these places. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, like, so.
Yeah, there's a... So I guess I would say this as a person who religiously votes in every election. I do. Yeah. I just feel like it's my job. I do it, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Whether I feel like it or not, I go vote. As a person who votes religiously in every election, I guess my message to society would be to every jackass that I run into, if you don't vote in every election, I think it's time to tune down the rhetoric because be it right or left, I run into a lot of people who have a lot of passionate feelings about this stuff, and given the voting numbers, I don't think they're all voting all the time.
Well, I don't know. I think they probably kind of are, because like I just said, we are on the West Coast. When you look at where the like big bubbles of non-voters are, it's extremely economically dispossessed people in the Southwest, in the South, in, you know, the Midwest. So if you're looking like where are all these people who aren't voting? Well, you're looking at mostly also like university students, people living on reservations, people living in just really small towns in the middle of nowhere. Like, I think probably most of the people you're interacting with who have really fiery rhetoric, I think they all probably are voters. Like,
yeah, unfortunately, I can't ask.
You probably don't meet a lot of non-voters in your life. It's just they're out there.
Right. Unfortunately, I can't ask them because, for one, if I were to ask them, they would think I was being a smart-ass jerk, and it would common problem. But,
right.
But for two, nobody answered. Nobody would answer, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara.
Oh, Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
I think it's, we need more young people to pay for the old and the sick that are just...
Right, exactly. This is, our population is aging, is what the problem is. And, like, in the long run, yeah, that's untenable, I think. You know, I think there are very good reasons why someone who is... I'm not going to have a kid. You know, I'm 29. I, like... No way. My economic situation is... Absolutely no possible way. Basically, everyone I know is in the same boat because of the thing I mentioned earlier, you know, how wages haven't risen in 40 years. I know some people have had children, but, like, it's...
All of my kids are older than my wife was when she had her first kid.
Right.
And two of my kids are older than I was.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to... If you want people to have babies, it's not that hard, you know. Give us health care, crack down on income inequality, like, it's, make life better for ordinary people and people will have babies. Like, it's crazy. Exactly. But they're more into, I think, banning contraception. So it's like,
what's the motivation there? How does banning contraception help it? I don't even, people say religion, but I mean, most religions don't believe in banning contraception.
No, that's, I mean, the Catholic Church.
They really don't. They really don't. Most Protestant Catholics, I mean, Catholics have in the past, they actually don't. Catholics have in the past, they actually don't now because the Pope is not there. But most Protestant Christian religions, they don't believe in no contraception. They don't believe in that. So it's like, when I heard that, I'm just like, what the hell is this coming from? Do they have, like, these weird Christian sects and these, like, back? I mean, I guess I just answered my own question, but, most people don't believe in no contraception.
Well, most people.
I don't even have to look it up. I don't know. Maybe there's polls out there, but I don't even have to look it up. I've known a lot of Christian people in my life. I was raised Catholic. These people aren't touting that.
Well, let me look up. Let me.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. I'll edit this. See, so take the time.
Evangelical views on contraception, because that's, you know, that's who's pushing this in a like political sense. It's like,
yeah, but are there enough to actually vote it in? I guess in some states, maybe.
Apparently.
I've been to Tennessee. And I have seen some insanely sized crosses on just like every hill, but I also know some people in Tennessee and they don't seem crazy. Well, they do for different reasons.
Well, it really, this is a hard question to answer. It looks like it's pretty much complicated.
Maybe we'll
it looks it like the Mormon Church has banned artificial birth, or have condemned artificial birth control.
What's a non-artificial
birth? But that's in the past, though. It looks like more recent.
What's non-artificial birth control?
Well, I don't know.
Huh. Like, tie it in a knot first?
That was a weird way to phrase that. That was me reading.
Okay, I thought you were reading it. I'm like, oh,
no, I am reading.
Mormons might know something that we don't know. You know, they're just all like, oh, yeah.
So they oppose abortion.
Just tie a string around.
The Christian Reformed Church doesn't. No, but when I'm looking at all these churches that have had, it looks like tons and tons of churches have had positions that ban birth control, but it looks like they've virtually all kind of stepped back from that. So
yeah, for decades.
You know what? I think you're right. I don't know who is even pushing this.
Yeah,
but like, clearly like there are some people who are really into this, because some elected officials are really trying to pass laws like this. So like, I'm not.
Well, that's what brings me back to a population agenda by the government that maybe isn't made as clear as possible, and people are pushing it in their own different ways, knowing that if they succeed on the population growth, they'll be the hero. Now, I realize that's like some asinine grabbing from nowhere, but I mean, that's kind of what we do here.
It is kind of what we do here, but even that, though, like, the trouble with this, though, is like issues about aging population, these are ultimately like, these are kind of long-term things to be thinking about that, about, and like, our government has consistently, basically every government has shown that they have a very hard time with anything other than short-term thinking. So like, I have a hard time believing there's any conspiracy that is particularly interested in population growth. What I always hear is, you know, there was some senator talking about like the domestic supply of white babies, which, first of all, horrifying. Second of all, our adoption.
There's not enough, or there's.
Yeah, that's what he was. Well, he was talking about this in the context of Roe versus Wade. Like, we got to have more people carrying babies to term. But, like, our adoption process is kind of an industry that needs a steady supply of babies to keep going. And it's a big industry. It's a, you know, there's supply and demand. There's a lot of money in it.
Yeah, so, well, that's
I wonder if that isn't maybe part of it too.
The need of more white babies for adoption.
Yeah.
That's an interesting angle to take it from, especially for supposed businessmen, because if I had a big stack of white Snarfblatts, and a big stack of brown ones.
Yeah.
And I'd sold out of all my white ones. You know what I would do?
I burn them.
I burn the brown. No. What I do is you create a need. You create a desire.
You got to start your marketing the brown Snarfblatts.
Right. I mean, how hard is that? You know, I mean, in a world of raging racists, I mean.
I think it's pretty hard, Chauncey. Yeah.
But part of the reason why this is so difficult for me is because I am adopted. I actually didn't know what I was up until like a year ago. So it's like my entire life, I've known that I go, I can make some racist jokes, but I can't be too racist because I have no idea what I'm going to find out in the future. You know, I might be like, oh no, I hate myself. You know, it's like.
This is a real Puddin'head Wilson situation there, Mark. We're going to summon Mark Twain's ghost.
So I guess we'll wrap it up here, but I will leave with a question. Hopefully we'll get an answer. Barring Jesus, what is a reason that anybody out there thinks that we should make contraception not legal? Barring Jesus. I don't want to hear any Jesus comments because I already know those comments. I'm not coming down on Jesus. I just already know them. I want to know an argument other than Jesus.
I don't think there's any secular argument that anyone is really making for banning contraception. That's not totally true. I hear people who are raging misogynists, like self-identified I hate women types, who think that, you know, a woman's place is in the home and contraception gave them way too much freedom. So I've heard that argument. Like, this is horrifying and hopefully not shared by too many people, but I have seen that argument on, like, the worst, most fetid forums on the internet.
Yeah, that's weird, because these also seem to be, like, the people who talk the most smack about their wives and hate women the most. You wouldn't think you'd want them home all the time.
Right.
You'd think it'd be like, oh, I gotta go home, my stupid wife's there. She's always there, you know? That's probably how my wife feels when she comes home, because I am always here.
Well, yeah, you work from the den.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the end of the day. I don't know if you hated anything that we said.
Come to our house.
Click the like button, like and subscribe.
Buy a weapon. We are made of soft flesh and easily killable.
celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Violent crime right
California under siege.
Arch gang related.
Criminals set free.
Defund their local police.
Police attacked.
In shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
Dad shot my little brother.
Ultra-liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and
clean. We need all units to
respond. Violent crime right... California, under siege.
Arch gang related.
Criminals set free.
Defund their local police.
Police attacked.
In shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
Dad shot my little...
Ultra-liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Where do you go in Shasta?